It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, we're not afraid here. Well, yeah, bring them on, let them have their say. Guys, let them have their say. Heidi Beirich, Southern Poverty Law Center. This is, I don't know, past year, probably fourth, fifth time she's been on the show. You know, morning, afternoon, yeah, we come on, we go at it. But I'm just looking for some understanding. Well, you know, maybe she understands me a little bit. I understand her. I get it. We're going to use government force to get you to do what we want you to do. And I'm just like, can we not use government force? So we understand each other. It's all good. Well, you know, maybe one of these days I'll get on somebody's list. You know, the one thing that I wanted to make sure that we talked about today is the Steele thing. The Republican National Committee Chair, Michael Steele, came out, and it was kind of one of those little pocket videos. You know, somebody's got their iPhone on. He's talking to a small group of people, and he's up there, and he's saying, hey, man, we never wanted this Afghan escalation. That's a Barack Obama thing. You know, damn Democrats out being warmongers and everything. And I'm going, seriously? So how is this taken by the left? You know, what are they? How far do they run with this thing? You know, well, you know, nobody better at really giving somebody what for this kind of thing than Jon Stewart from The Daily Show. So we're going to go on that. I'm going to go on Freedom's Phoenix, and I'm just going to hit you with the headlines, you know, just the highlights of the headlines. Just kind of go through and just a little bit what this is about, just to see, so that you understand there is no possible way that I can do all of what we put up on Freedom's Phoenix on the radio show, even in 5 hours a day. It's just not possible. You know, we have so much stuff to go. You got to go to freedomsphoenix.com. It sucks to be you, man. You got to do some reading, you know, and you enjoy it. Some really cool graphics, you know, we make it funny. But you go there and you see the from a libertarian's perspective. And we have a lot of people on the right and on the left and on the, you know, Lord knows where they are, you know, provide spice, you know, for what we say. Yeah, get to have your say. Go for it. And then everybody gets to comment on it. Go. The thing is that Freedom's Phoenix is there as a tool for activists. And I don't even care what you're active for. Yeah, just go be active. Now it all, once you start, if you're sincere in seeking the truth and advocating for the truth, you'll come around. You always do. I've been doing this for a couple decades. I've seen people that have been the hardcorest, pro-warist, fascist-y, communist-y, whateverist. And as long as they were sincere and decently good people, they come around. They always do. You know, it's just a way to, you know, I have in-laws and so on that just give me what for back in the day. Man, how did my sister, my daughter, my cousin, whatever, marry you? You know, what the heck? All of a sudden, maybe he's not that crazy. You know, it's just, and they come around. Government's a good cattle prod for having the cattle run over to freedom. You know, I just stand over here at the other side of the fence, you know, saying, yeah, you guys are going to get out one of these days. Over here, this way, here's the opening. You know, so that's the role we play. I don't go in there and bashing on them and everything. Heck, the government's going to do that, but they haven't done it to your pension plan yet. Hello. So one of the articles I'm hoping I get a chance to read, yeah, it's like 9-10 pages. It was written by Mark Victor. Mark Victor is my partner on the Freedom Summit, and we're just now starting to promote the Freedom Summit this weekend at Freedom Fest in Las Vegas. and have a list of the speakers and so on that'll be coming, and we'll start promoting it heavy and having commercial change out all the commercials and everything, all the contracts, you know, change and everything, and we'll start having new commercials on the radio shows and such, and we'll start pushing a lot of the activities that we're doing here in Phoenix. And one of those is the Freedom Summit. Well, Mark Victor, my partner in that, he's a criminal defense attorney in Chandler, Arizona, which is southeast part of the valley here near Phoenix. And he is a very well-known criminal defense attorney, and he defends, I mean, criminals. That's it. You know, he goes, no matter how bad they are, you know, Ernie, I just can't see them as bad as the state. And them going after some of the people that's supposed to, they want to put them in cages for the stupidest stuff. So he's, you know, and so he wrote this article when we were at Porkfest. In New Hampshire, we passed out hundreds of these. You know, everybody had, right at the end of it. You know, I didn't want to get in big debates in the beginning. It was raining and so on, and I didn't want to deal with it. But right before we left, some of the girls went out, and they passed them out to all, like, 700 campsites. And the title of the paper is Legalize Methamphetamine. Oh, what might that say? With a title like that, could you even possibly be convinced to legalize methamphetamine, crank, crystal, whatever you want to call it? Could you be persuaded? Would you allow yourself to even hear the argument from a criminal defense attorney that knows that legalizing drugs would put him out of business? Well, certainly, I'm sure there'd be crimes, but his business is overwhelmingly due to the drug war. The court system is clogged overwhelmingly due to the drug war. The prisons are clogged overwhelmingly due to the drug war. I think it's by accident. Do these people really present the threat that they say they do? And is the drug war itself more dangerous than the drugs they're trying to stop? What evidence do you have either way? Do you know? What do you know? So I, you know, we'll get to that, but I want to go ahead and do this piece that's done by John Stewart. We'll go ahead and get it started. And how much time we got? 3, 7, 4. Ah, no, I cut in it. I have to cut it about a minute early. We'll get it in the next segment because, you know, Steele crazy after all these years. RNC chairman Michael Steele defends his controversial comments about Afghanistan from his 5th of July vegan barbecue. All right, so this is the 5th of July. Is this from yesterday? You know, so he's defending, you know, whatever. My thing is what he's saying is that, you know, being in Afghanistan and the problems that we're having there and that it's an unwinnable war and that, you know, we're Vietnam all over again, he's trying to shift the blame to Obama. Why? I mean, it's like a ping pong match, you know, tennis match playing ding, 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 pong, going back and forth. Republicans did it, no, the Democrats did it, no, the Republicans did it, no, the Democrats did it. And you can see him go through this phase. There was an old joke, I guess it was an instructional metaphor, but a friend of mine, I became a friend, he was one of the trainers in management when I was in restaurants and so on, back when I was a young man in the 80s. And he goes, let me tell you the three-letter story. What he was talking about is whenever you have a change in the presidency or you have a change in the CEO of large corporations or you have a change whenever you're in charge, you're the top dog, then you need to take heed on this story. Things are going to crap. Board of directors fires the guy. You suck. We get in the new guy. You come in, and as the new guy goes in the office, he sees the old guy there, and the old guy goes to the new guy, and he says, hey, man, if you ever run into any problems, you'll check the safe. There's three envelopes in there. You know, open them, 1, 2, 3. You know, just in case, I don't need you. You know, get out of here, you bum. Hey, got me. You suck. And what? Just, you know, FYI, just, you know, there's letters in there, and he leaves. Things start going bad, you know, profits are down, it's all kinds of mess, and so on. The board of directors calls a meeting, they want the CEO to come in, you know, we're going to have us a talk, a little powwow, come to Jesus meeting, you know, what's up? So he's worried. So he goes in the safe, he opens the first letter, and it says, blame everything on your predecessor. You know, he did it. Okay, so he goes in, he goes, man, you guys were right to hire me. Oh, that guy, man, wow, he was bad. Yeah, you know, man, you guys are so smart, you got me just in time. I'm going to get it all fixed. Things start to settle down. It gets, you know, things are cool and everything. A few months go by. Boom. Sorry, I'm having problems again. Oh, board director, come on down. Got to have another meeting. opens up the safe, takes out letter number two. It says, totally reorganize. Okay, so move the third floor to the fifth floor, seventh floor, kind of, you know, changing, moving stuff around. Yeah, we got to get more ergonomic and efficient, and we're not getting the right flow of the information and websites, and did you reorganize? Okay, things settle down a little bit. Okay, happens again. Goes to the safe, opens up the third envelope, and it says write three letters. When do we get to that point? It's almost like it's a plan. You know, it'll be, of course, Obama's going to blame everything on the Republicans before him. You know, Bush did it. Of course, he does the same thing more, but Bush did it. You know, how long does that work? Then what's the next thing? Totally reorganize. We get new people here. We shuffle that around. We fire this guy, whatever. You know, and then you have an oil spill. You know, it's time for Obama to write three letters. You know, this is it's not working. So who's advocating for him? Wall Street? Wow. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Yeah! Just another talk show host out of Phoenix. Yeah, that's what it is. Here on Declare Your Independence to me, Ernest Hancock, each and every day here on Liberty News Radio. Here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Now, I want to go ahead and get to this. It is John Stewart talking about Michael Steele. What the big controversy is that he's coming out saying, you know, Afghanistan, we never wanted to go in and do what the expansion like Obama is. Look, he's sending more troops. We would never done Heaven's Murgatory. We would never done that. And I just, and the one thing that Dr. Paul has really been making clear is he's going, look, We're pulling in the horns of the empire, whether we like it or not. You know, sooner or later, all empires crumble due to them just overextending and not being able to afford it. You can print up all the money you want. All it does is buy you a handful of gravel, you know, and what? You know, you're going to lead the troops over there? You better hope they don't make it back. I mean, this is, you know, and this has happened before. After World War One, you had troops camping out in front of the White House. Yeah, they're saying, oh, no, we want our goodies. Gimme, 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 gimme. So I see where this is going. It's called history. So, you know, it's politics is being played. Now you got Republicans all freaking out, wanting to get rid of Michael Steele. He should resign and replace him with what? A bigger warmonger? You know, Michael Steele is their token black guy at the head of the Republican National Committee, you know, toting their water, and they're going to what? Replace them with what? You know, it's all a comedy.
But these people stay. But on to our top story. Michael Abercrombie Bartholomew Perseus Flozell Steele Jr. He is the Republican National Committee chairman who has, in his 18-month tenure, weathered many storms of his own making, saying as the head of the pro-life party things like abortion is a woman's individual choice, that he doesn't know why black people would vote Republican, and who wants to go to a lesbian tatas club? Keep your wallets at home. It'll be paid for by our socially conservative donors. And, of course, this.
I tend to, you know, come at it a little bit stronger, a little bit more streetwise, if you will.
I grew up here in the streets of D.C., bling bling in their pockets.
I got the fried chicken and potato salad.
What? But now, with comments regarding Afghanistan, Steele may have finally gone too far.
That's the one thing you don't do is engage in a land war in Afghanistan. This was a war of Obama's choosing. This is not something the United States had actively prosecuted or wanted to engage in.
Okay. Forget about the fact that we've been in Afghanistan since before Obama was even a gleam in the Senate's eye. Forget about the fact that this non-active war has cost the United States thousands of casualties. And just focus on this. This is the head of the Republican Party going against one of his party's core principles, blowing up in other countries. It's like Jews for Jesus. It's like Democrats for competence. It'd be like Al Gore taking a private jet to go sexually harass a masseuse. Be like an anti-gay preacher a rent-a-boy. You know, things that would never happen. Anyway, in the past, Chairman Steele, seen here asking a hapless waiter to return his soup, has always survived. He's just very, very upset with his soup. To find out how Steele believes this situation will resolve, we go now to our good friend, Republican Michael Steele. Thank you. Michael Steele? You join us live from, is that your house, sir?
4th of July at the Cribble, baby! I'm feeling the thrill of the grill, cause you know I likes to chill. Woo-hoo!
It's a Muppet.
Actually, Mr. Chairman, I believe it's the 5th of July.
And the party don't stop till 6 in the morning.
Yes. I have to say, I did not expect you to be this upbeat. Your comments about Afghanistan are very controversial.
I nailed it. I hibbled that bibble like a jibble on the dribble.
I'm not sure what that means, but people in your own party are blasting you. Here's Senator Lindsey Graham.
Your reaction, Senator?
Dismayed, angry, upset. It was an uninformed, unnecessary, unwise, untimely comment.
Linda Bogra Hibble.
Yes. Yes, that was Senator Linda Bogra Hibble, but he wasn't the only one.
It's unacceptable. Careless comment, obviously, and it's inaccurate. And this is America's war.
Mr. Steele is going to have to assess as to whether he can still lead the Republican Party.
No. Ain't no Republican Party like a Michael Steele Republican Party, because a Michael Steele Republican Party don't... The roof is on fire! We don't need no water!
All right. I think you're confusing rap metaphors, but let's move past that. Your anti-Afghanistan war stance is the antithesis of your party's basic platform.
Hey, I'm just keeping it real, Tatum O'Neill. Let's cook up some veal. I'm just kidding, it's an all-vegan barbecue.
Yeah, see, even right there, Chairman Steele, typically Republicans are meat eaters and killers.
Hey, brother, I shoot my own broccoli. I use a bow and arrow just like Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent? It's Ted Nugent.
No, Jugent.
What? That doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense.
Ah, look at that. Somebody must have smelled my Boca Burkers. Keep an eye on the grill, Mr. Bill.
Lou.
Hi, Mr. Steele.
Hey.
Hi.
Not doing any interviews. Sorry.
No comment at all?
No, thanks.
That was weird. Who brings a microphone to a barbecue?
Yeah, and who takes... from daylight to nighttime to get back into their house. But that's not
there
the point.
Are a lot
that's
of stairs.
Not the point. The point is this. I believe that might have been a reporter.
I can't believe they're working on the 4th of July.
Yeah, again, it's the 5th of July.
It is. Where's my mail?
There's no mail. All right, look, how do you plan on diffusing your comments about Afghanistan?
I do what I always do, top myself. Maybe I'll say something about 9/11 being an inside job. Or I get caught with a boy locked in my basement. A week from now, nobody will even know I was talking about Afghanistan.
That sounds exhausting, Chairman.
It ain't easy when you're running a Ponzi scheme of stupid.
Thank you, Michael Steele. We'll see you later.
You want cheese on your Boca Burger?
Yeah, wrong satellite.
John Stewart. This is how the left is just, you never able to get away with any of this stuff. You know, there's always somebody who's going to catch you. And what did Nixon always say? Oh, you don't want to, it's not bad they're laughing with you, but you never want them to laugh at you. So how are the Republicans going to recover from this and still keep Michael Steele in that position? I don't know. I mean, there may be a way they can spin it and keep him there and it might be better off. But, I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to all of a sudden, after all of the congressional candidates have already staked out their position of warmongering, whatever, we need to go, you know, kill, and be more, and where's the Muslims, and Durka Jihad? I mean, I don't know. I mean, they can't take a midstream change here, and they have to change all their artwork on their brochures. Because they really are followers, I mean, you know. But, so I don't know how this is going to play out. But I do know that truth is not going to be the prime directive here. You're going to have to do that on your own. And we're just trying to help. You go to freedomsphoenix.com, uncovering the secrets, exposing the lies. It's what we do, but we need your help. You got to go and read it. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Feeling a little druggy. Oh, rocking and rolling along out here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. I'm gonna share something controversial with y'all. I'm gonna mess with your mind. If you need your mind messed with a little bit, that's what we're gonna do. This is Mark J. Victor wrote this probably a few years ago, and I remember it got published on everywhere. And it was like LouRockwell.com and Strike the Root and certainly Freedom's Phoenix. And it had not the impact that I anticipated. I thought it would be a lot more controversial, certainly because of the title of the article, Legalize Methamphetamine. Well, of course, any libertarian worth their salt would be legalize everything. I mean, you know, legalize thermonuclear heroin. I mean, you know, it's a freedom thing. You know, you don't even need to get into the whatever, because freedom always produces better results than not freedom. In the name of saving people from themselves for fill-in-the-blank reasons, you always cause unintended consequences that just take you down the dark side. I give you the drug war, or a lot of people call it the war on some drugs. Well, I'm going to read this article to you. This is from the perspective of a criminal defense attorney that how old is he? He is probably about 40, 42. And he's probably about 8 years younger than me. And I met him first in 1994 at a meeting where John, now Judge Buttrick, was running for governor, and we were there with some material and so on, and as a libertarian he's running. And it had on a piece of paper a brochure that said, as a step towards the elimination of government from educating of the children and so on, because Arizona state constitution requires that you have free or nearly free public education. You know, it's just part of our Constitution. It needs to be changed, by the way. But and you can do it different and better and whatever, and that's not the point. What we did is, at the time, education vouchers was a big deal. And as a step towards getting the government out of education, you know, we advocate that the parents become the administration of the money. You know, they become the administrators. They're the ones that determine where the kid go. They're the ones that determine what education their kids. They're the ones. And, you know, the kind of a voucher thing. Well, here's this young, just graduated law student, got his first job in East Valley here in Arizona. He's wants to be a criminal defense attorney, and he's a Marine. I mean, he's out of the Marine Corps. He was in Desert Storm 1, and he's shorter than most. He's probably 5'6" or so. But he's, you know, big, broad shoulders, big chest, bench presses over 300 pounds. One of those guys. You know, that comes up and he goes, "Oh, you bunch of communists, I can't believe you," and blah, blah, blah. I mean, he's just rambling on. And we're sitting there, Rick Tompkins is a state chair at the time, and I was county chairman, and we're just sitting there smiling and looking at each other, and he's just getting redder. He's just mad that we're not taking him serious. What he didn't realize, we loved it. We're like, "I love this guy already." Like, you're right, absolutely, because we had brought that up to some of the other guys that prevailed in the opinion to have it kind of soften this brochure. And we're like, I'm not for this. I say government out, man. This is, we know, it's not going to be mamby-pamby and already. Well, he was so passionate. Just this young guy comes out, convinced everybody. I go, "See? Now this is what I'm talking about. No, I did not slip him a 20. I did not tell him to say this," because he had just come out of law school, getting his mentorship into, you know, a narco-libertarian philosophy from Butler Schaefer, which is a very well-known writer for Lou Rockwell and a lot of other stuff. He's a contemporary of a lot of the founders of the philosophy back in the 60s and so on. And he also is a constitutional professor at, I think it's Southwestern University in L.A., for he teaches, trains, of course, attorneys. Well, this is what the big impact, you know, because Mark did the same thing that I did and a lot of other people do to me. They go, "Yeah, but what about? But what about? But what about? But what about?" I mean, I'm sure a lot of you know he's got a lot of whatabouts. And that's probably one reason why we don't have a lot of callers. I mean, I'm not pimping for callers all the time. It'd be nice, or I could have my friends call in. Yeah, that's all call in and so on. But really, it's just, you know, it's not really necessary, I think, because I try and bring out your questions. You know, the same kind of questions I would have, the same questions I did have. You know, if you got questions, you can call in. 866-986-6397. 986-NEWS. 866-986-6397. So please, call in if you want. I'm going to go ahead and start reading this article. But a lot of times I try and answer the questions before they even start, because I already know what they are. And what happened was, is that that's where I came up with the phrase, "Freedom's the answer, what's the question?" Because I did the same thing. And then finally, after about a year, you know, I'm asking all these questions and so on, and finally, the state chair at the time, Rick Tompkins, which later would run for president against Harry Brown in 96, he kept answering. And finally, I go, "Oh, I get it. Freedom's the answer. What's the question?" I mean, you just default. More freedom's going to be the answer. I get a caller. So now come in. "Yeah, but when I go, you know, I just want you to know, whatever your question is, more freedom's going to be my answer." You know, I can sit there and explain why and go on and the unintended consequences of trying to socially and economically engineer people and how throughout history it hadn't worked and this and that, blah, blah. I give you all kinds of, you know, reasoning and rationalization for it and why I'm so convinced, you know. But you're more than welcome to ask your question, because I did, and I'm sure Mark did, the same kinds of people that have influenced us. Well, now we have libertarians that are able to dominate, you know, any discussion on the internet. Try and go up against a libertarian on any issue on Facebook, on an email list. You know, these people, they just, what do? They wind up going over to their own little group, their own email, and pounding their chest at each other, and just, you know, just reinforces. And anybody brings in any kind of a freedom-oriented argument, man, they just get pounced on. Well, they stay or they don't, or they learn how to make the argument. We did the same thing on Right to Keep and Bear Arms list. In the mid-90s, there was a group. It was called Right to Keep and Bear Arms, AZRKBA, which stood for Arizona Right to Keep and Bear Arms. And it was run out of, one of the faculty was a sponsor of it, and it was run off of ASU.edu site over at Arizona State University. And it was all about firearms. But really what it was about supporting Republican candidates, you know, approved by the NRA. Well, we didn't realize that until it started getting to be election season, then we could see what was happening. You had the guys in there assaulting it, you know, making sure, "Oh, yeah, we got to get behind." And, of course, there's a few of us libertarians going, "Are you freaking kidding me? You're making excuses for these guys doing this? Oh, heck no." You know, so it became very influential that we were there, and we had a lot of different activities that were born out of that and different things that we did. And it's just because of the internet that for the first time, that you don't have something just printed in a magazine and you just kind of have to swallow the 20% that's crap and kind of, you know, pick through the rest of it. You know, you get to have your own opinion. Well, that's why Freedom's Phoenix was designed the way it was. It was to allow the left and the right and the communists and the fascists and everybody to expose themselves and say, and we got some people they consider trolls. We got guys up there making comments saying stupid stuff because they can't help themselves, because they just, I don't know what's wrong, or that's their advocacy, or they're trying to, you know, get a rise out of somebody. But somebody that's been experienced, I get a lot of people like Jet. Hey, here's a good example. Jet Lacy is a guest host for me on the morning show sometimes, and he does a lot of activism around here. Well, he's been really influenced and affected by the Love Police out of the United Kingdom. Well, they had a day, I think it was this last weekend or something, or recently, that they had Love Police all over the country. I mean, they were everywhere. You know, Philadelphia, the Brotherly Love, and other major metropolitan areas around the world. And certainly he wanted to do something here in Arizona. So he and Renee and Charlie and Nick was here a little bit earlier making some more signs for it and stuff, it looks like. And I don't know, Shelton, I mean, all these guys, they go out and they're just Drew, and they're just going to go out. And he put on this Eeyore costume, and he's a big guy. He's probably, you know, 300 pounds, 6'3" or something. He's, you know, Jet's a big, intimidating guy if you didn't know him, you know, and you're talking, he's pretty jovial and everything, so you kind of lighten up. He's not a big threat. Well, have a guy going out, you know, free hugs, you know, maybe I can't get my arms around, yeah, maybe not, you know, but if he's wearing a donkey outfit, you know, this Eeyore with a police hat on, you know, out with his beautiful wife, you know, going around saying free hugs and a bunch of other guys and video cameras and so on. Okay, he's starting to lighten up. So he goes out and he had a Revolution Continues t-shirt on, too, over the costume. So all these people are coming up and getting hugs and everything. Well, somebody goes on the comment and says, ah, you pervert, you're out there just getting hugs and everything. You know, so what do? Do you take that down? Do you not let them sully you? Or do you let them stay there and go, see, this is the kind of troll these people are. You know, this is the kind of sick mind they have. This is, they're trying to do away with the love. What do? Do you just open it up and let everybody say their piece? We'll talk about it when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Yeah, you ain't seen nothing yet. Here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, from the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com, where you have the opportunity to say and or do whatever you want. I pretty much let you go. I mean, some people, you know, on their own special edition sites, they want to delete a comment or do what, you know, they can. But I a lot of times when somebody is critical of just real good, positive outreach that someone's doing, they're being activists, they're going out and they're critical of that, and just, it says more about them than the people are actually getting off their butt doing something. You know, so it's I've always advocated just letting it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. And the site's structured that way to where, you know, somebody wants to go rambling on, make whatever comments they want on something, it doesn't distract from the article you want to read anyway, so what do I care? But some people take this stuff personally. And, it's not like I haven't been targeted. Oh, yeah, whatever. You know, it's just, if you're not being targeted, you're not hitting the mark, you know? That means, oh, yeah, what does it say? If you're not taking flack, you're not over the target. Yeah, I'm over the target enough. I'm good. But, you know, one of the things that really bring it out, I mean, oh, you want to get people going, is the legalization of drugs, I think, is pretty much, you know, yeah, this drug war is not working, but, you know, are they really ready to just let go? Legalize methamphetamine. Are they ready for that? I'm going to go ahead and start reading the article here, get you a kind of taste, and we go into the next hour. I'll finish it. And this is Mark Victor. He's a criminal defense attorney here and a good friend of mine that I've known since he got out of law school. And see, he was kind of hardcore from the beginning. He's just now starting to kind of lighten up just a little bit. I mean, he's evangelical about, I mean, he's looking for every opportunity just to argue with somebody. I mean, you don't get enough of a trial attorney. And he loves going to trial, too. Ooh, we going to trial. A lot of attorneys do anything they can to avoid trial. He does just about everything he can to get to trial. He loves it. He loves it. And the bad guys, they don't like it. You know, I mean, well, the government. Okay, he's defending some of the bad guys, but it's usually, I tell you, a lot of the people, all the stories I hear, I mean, of course, he has some bad guys, you know, murderers. He's done a lot of murder cases and stuff, too. But, I mean, it is the government. It's like a default lying machine. If evidence supports the government's case, it's admitted. If it supports the defense, it's denied. I mean, this is like standard procedure. I see this. I do my best to be very careful what I know, what the risks are for the activities that I do and what I have on me and how I, you know, carry firearms and what firearms I got and what drugs I don't got and, you know, all this kind of stuff because I know the ramifications of it. Does that mean I advocate it? No, but I got other battles to fight. You know, I got other things I need to do. I got other focus I need to be available for. But I'm not averse to getting arrested. I got just no convictions. I'm always getting arrested for something, standing in the wrong place, doing, saying the wrong things. You know, but it's got to the point over the past years, they just leave me alone now. You know, a lot of them, they just know who I am and they're just, fish on. Well, let's get to it. Legalized methamphetamine by criminal defense attorney Mark J. Victor, my Freedom Summit partner. I'm the last guy who ought to argue for the legalization of meth. As a practicing criminal defense attorney, I make a good income from defending people who are charged with drug crimes. If the drug war ended, I would lose a substantial portion of my income. Additionally, some could call me a health nut. I go to the gym 6 times a week and eat organic foods as often as possible. I wouldn't change my healthy lifestyle if drugs were legal. I have 3 little kids. I don't want them ever to become drug addicts. I want them to grow up in a safe world. Indeed, that's exactly why I want the drug war to end. When I was in law school, a wise law professor of mine taught me that if you are asking the wrong question, the answer doesn't matter. In regards to meth, the question is not whether meth is dangerous and unhealthy. Over the years, I have represented countless meth users. I have seen the consequences of meth use up close. I am convinced meth use will likely ruin the user's life. It is an extraordinarily dangerously addictive drug. Few drugs are more addictive or dangerous than meth. Many of those who oppose legalization of meth identify the horrors of meth use. I entirely agree with their assessment of meth's dangers. Asking whether meth is dangerous or unhealthy or addictive is not the right question. The relevant question is whether our society would be better served if meth was manufactured, distributed, bought, and sold legally. The answer is yes. There are 2 related but separate reasons why ending the drug war is critical. First, a free society requires that the drug war end. I refer to this argument as the freedom argument. Second, the consequences of ending the drug war would yield economic and other benefits, which would greatly benefit our society. I refer to these arguments as the consequentialist argument. Most readers will not be persuaded by the freedom argument. This fact is disturbing to me. In fact, many of the issues which plague our world will persist unless and until people come to respect the principles embodied in terms such as individual responsibility, self-ownership, and freedom. These concepts are what our country was founded upon and the very reason why America prospered. Now they are given mere lip service if they are considered at all. If you shrug your shoulders and brush off the freedom argument, you should be ashamed of yourself. Whether you realize it or not, you are the problem. The freedom argument. I'm a good dad. I don't want my kids using meth. Indeed, I will force my opinion about not using meth upon my kids. I will prevent them from using meth by force if necessary. As a dad, I have other policies as well. For example, my kids are not allowed to ride their motorized quads without helmets or to ride in the car without seatbelts. They are not allowed to smoke cigarettes or skydive either. However, at some point, my kids will be responsible to decide for themselves what activities are too dangerous for them. Both assessing the dangerousness of an activity and determining how much danger is acceptable will become the exclusive domain of each of my kids as it pertains to them. Resolving these questions for oneself is an important task and responsibility of any free person. The question of who gets to make decisions about the disposition of certain property is central to understanding freedom. Who gets to decide what activities are too dangerous for you? Should I get to decide what activities are too dangerous for you? What about your neighbor? Or the majority? Or the president? Or Congress? Or some judge? In a free society, the owner of the property gets to decide how the property is used. Because you own your body, I assert that you should decide how your body is used or abused. In terms of the freedom argument, the question of legalization of meth poses exactly the same question as many other issues currently confounding our fellow citizens. The following non-exhaustive list contains questions which are each different versions of the same question about how a particular body is used. Should people be allowed to eat Big Macs? Should people be allowed to consume any unhealthy foods at all? Should people be allowed to play football despite the risk of serious injury? Should people be allowed to skydive or rock climb? Should people be allowed to ride in cars without seatbelts? Should unprotected sex between consenting adult strangers be allowed? Should consenting adults be allowed to have sex in exchange for money? Should adults be permitted to ingest marijuana for health reasons? Should adults be permitted to ingest marijuana for mere personal pleasure? Should competent adults be allowed to voluntarily end their lives if they choose? Each question begs the initial question about who gets to decide how a particular human body is used. Those of us who are pro-freedom would in each case conclude that the owner of the particular human body in question should decide how that body is used. The initial issue of who decides must be resolved first. Although I would try my best to persuade others not to use meth, I concede it is not my decision. Among adults, persuasion is fine, but coercion is not. I will not force others to live by my assessments of dangers. I respect the property of other people such that I respect their right to use their property in ways I vigorously disagree with. I have no claim on how others use their property unless and until their activities trespass upon my property. The freedom argument is much bigger than the question of whether meth should be legal. It certainly resolves the question, but it raises larger questions about the very nature of government. Any legitimate role of government is confined to protecting rights. Indeed, unless you disagree with the principles upon which this country was founded and believe government is the source of rights, which may be distributed to us or taken away, you must agree that government can have no rights other than the ones we individually delegate to it. Because you have no right to be my daddy, you have no such right to delegate to government. Further, because no person individually has any such right, even the majority of people added together collectively have no such right. Therefore, when the government acts as my daddy, it acts wrongfully, even if it acts pursuant to an accurately counted democratic vote. Although it is perfectly fine for me to act as a daddy to my kids, the government has no right to act as a daddy for us. Some people posit that legalized meth would send the wrong message to people about using meth. We'll go ahead and continue when we come back. But you can see this is a much bigger issue than, you know, whether you do drugs or not. You know, and I just need to know, you know, at what point do I not have a daddy, a mommy, a fatherland, a motherland, a parent? When do I get to grow up? Is it when I'm 18, when I'm 21, when I'm taking care of myself, when I get married, when I have kids, when I have grandkids? At what point do I belong to me? When does that happen? You know, these are fundamental questions. That's what we're talking about here. And Mark did a really good job on this. It's very popular. We'll finish it up over the course of this hour, you know, this next hour. You guys go ahead and stay right there. We'll be right back.